This writer says that people are scared because they don't know what is really going on the issue of testing. And he suggests that that is part of what is causing people to go to the supermarkets and in the numbers that they're going or with the frequency that they're going. You know, the most important issue here, though, don't lose sight of it, is not that they're going to the supermarkets regularly. It is the fact that they are bunching in the lines, and that is ultimately a dangerous practice. Let us not lose sight of what the real issue is. And therefore the question is, what can be done to reduce the exposure to that particular danger? The supermarket is considered to be an essential service. And therefore, it's not the only one. In all instances where we are having exposure to having to use the essential services, how are we going to minimize that danger to exposure? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hello.
Yes, I have two questions here. First, I want to know how soon will the Cuban doctors and nurses be on island?
Doctors are coming from Cuba as well? I thought it heard nurses. I didn't hear doctors too.
I heard doctors and nurses.
I didn't hear that.
Okay.
I heard nurses. Because you see, the doctors issue would stand out for me because I've heard much criticism over the years of the difficulty of accepting Cuban doctors in Barbados and that sort of thing, and they have to get they have to go through a particular test and that sort of stuff. So I couldn't imagine that in this environment, Cuban doctors would now be able to come in without that kind of concern being expressed, especially in light of the fact that we have so many doctors in the country right now too.
So now that the nurses coming, the Cuban nurses will replace the African nurses? No.
No, they would add to.
Add to?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyhow, back from the first beginning, as I said before, they should have done got nurses from Cuba, everything. They went all off in Africa and then still have come back down to Cuba.
But you didn't criticize the Ghanaian nurses coming?
Me?
Yeah.
I say, why they didn't get nurses from... Yeah, I say, yes. I say, why they didn't get nurses from Cuba instead of going to the Ghanaian nurses. I criticized it. Yes, I did.
Right.
I know they still have jumped back down to Cuba.
Well, they may be looking at both. Remember, when we were discussing the Ghanaian nurses, we did not have the COVID-19 issue on the table as a country. So we now have a situation which requires more nursing care than we would normally want, than we would normally require.
All right, now. I hear them talking about closing down the grocery stores. People have to eat, Mr. Ellis.
What's the answer?
Leave the grocery store open.
And do what?
Pardon?
And do what with this problem?
They kind of monitor it carefully.
Who's to monitor it?
The security guards.
Okay.
Out there to monitor the people.
Fine.
That they want to close down.
You know that Grenada is on shutdown for the next 7 days.
Yeah.
No sale of alcohol, no walks, no beach visits. Gas stations and restaurants closed from 7 p.m. tomorrow. Designated days for doing groceries. And you can only shop in your parish. Only one family member allowed to go outside on grocery days. No more than two persons in a private vehicle. Only one passenger per row in a bus. No taxi service allowed. Hotel workers must remain at the hotel, and the hotel must bear the cost of staff, lodging, and meals. Mandatory curfew from 7 p.m. Monday. That's what has been sent to me here. So, you know, there are other countries that are far more drastic. The issue is this. If you don't conform to the basic rules, Those basic rules call for us to stay home as much as possible, for us to practice social distancing wherever we are, and for us to look after our personal hygiene. The government can't enforce the looking after of our personal hygiene. But you know what? If we do not address the question of the social distancing, this is what is going to happen. The numbers are going to increase significantly. The more the numbers increase, the more the government is going to get nervous and is going to react to that.
All right, then. So that is why they should leave the borders open for medical and full staff and close down for the incoming travelers. We have the problem start at the airport. They had too much errors. There are a lot of people slipped too.
All right. Let me ask you something.
Yes.
We criticized Trinidad for not allowing their own nationals to go back home. We had to put them up. A lot of Bajans. Hold on a minute now.
Okay.
You got a lot of Bajans who live in New York, and New York is now considered to be the epicenter of the coronavirus in the United States, if not elsewhere as well. When a Barbadian says, "I'm coming home," and you close your borders, what would you do? Where would that person go?
All right, Mr. Ellis, look, I will leave the border open for my
Bajans
people
only
to come through.
All right, fine.
Not for other travelers to
okay.
come in.
All right, fine. But you know what? There are a lot of Barbadians who are very nervous in New York at the moment. We spoke with a lady on Saturday night on the air, a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And she reflected that nervousness, that fear of being in New York at the moment. And she said that they have had to be counseling a lot of other Barbadians against the idea of just coming back home, because they're saying to them, you are going to take it home. You're going to take it to Barbados.
Mm.
There are some people who are going to heed that advice, and there are others who will not. There are many of those people who have returned home and went in Bridgetown, and went to the supermarket, have been all around shopping and stuff, because in all fairness, they didn't think that they had the virus, but some of them did.
Okay.
So while you are looking, I only say all of that to point out that sometimes when you are looking at the foreigners, as you call them, it is our own people who you gotta watch.
But at the airport then, the travelers that coming from the cities that infected with that virus, them should tell the people where you have to quarantine for a certain amount of days, where they're not coming from that sector.
Well, we have already, that's what we have said, no. But it took
but
us.
Though,
it took some time for us to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
a lot came through without telling them to go quarantine themselves. So a lot of the problems happened. A lot of errors happened at that airport.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who will agree with the idea of being in self quarantine for a few days, but by day 7 and day 8, they're out and gone. You know, they come to the conclusion that nothing is wrong, and therefore they breach it. It's like the story we had of the woman being overheard in the supermarket saying that this was her 7th day of quarantine or something like that. She had 7 more days to go. Because people start to get tired of being confined and decide, you know, let me take matters into my own hands.
But I agree with Mickey, the doctor that was on. No one should be quarantined at home. Because you quarantine among other members in your home, when you spreading the virus, the cough, you inhaling that day, they should be quarantined at the school or a park by themselves, not at home. And Mr. Ellis?
I don't know that he ever spoke about the idea of having people quarantined at home.
Oh, okay.
I think what he was talking about was the idea of having people confined to mm-hmm. their home, because you can have a situation where if you do it at the wrong time, if you're mm-hmm. too late in the process, that's a critical issue. If you're too late in the process, then you are having people who are infected, confined with others in their homes, where you multiply the effect of it. You see?
Yeah. Call boy should be quarantined in a house where little children or whatever. Then you'll be someplace because they're going to touch up the same things, going to use the washroom, all that thing. They should be quarantined by themselves.
Nobody, you have a quarantine. I said quarantine and confined.
Confined,
you can be confined. Thing. You can be confined without being quarantined, you know.
Okay.
In the sense that you are home in an environment with mm-hmm. other people. You do not remember. Part of our big challenge is that in most instances, the people who are tested are the ones who are showing symptoms.
Okay.
But there are a lot of people who are not showing symptoms, but mm-hmm. are also carrying the virus. And we don't know who those people are. That is why the principle, all of this talk about you must know this person and that person, the rule of thumb is
mm-hmm.
assume that you got it and assume that the other person got it already.
Yeah, because if you go in contact, if you got the mull of it, and you go, you but your friends, you don't know the other people that standing next to you.
Right, but if you operate from the premise that I can have it or you can have it, then the social distancing will be observed.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. If you don't believe that you can catch it or that you've done anything to catch it, you operate on the premise, one, I'm not in the age group
mm-hmm.
where I must take it seriously. I haven't traveled recently, and because I haven't traveled recently, it's not a problem for me.
Oh, but
if
Mr.
you do
Ellis,
that, then you're making a big mistake.
Okay. Mr. Ellis?
Yes?
Why are they using the Black Monk School up there in Christchurch?
Because in their judgment, please. Don't
leave.
Please. Why not that school? I mean, they have to use different places in Barbados. Why are we creating hysteria over which school or which building?
No, I just asked a question. I said that it may be the hot spot for Christchurch at the point of a lot of virus up there.
So, if you come back to what I just told you,
yes,
that the virus is likely all over Barbados, if you operate on the premise that anybody could have it, it then becomes irrelevant whether it's Christchurch, St. Lucie, wherever.
We
are too focused on this parish or that parish or this gap or that gap or this profession or that profession or the person come from this area or that area. That is irrelevant to the whole exercise right now. This thing can be anywhere in Barbados.
So with the Caribbean base, okay, we spend
because you got to do it somewhere.
Okay.
If not there, you put it in St. Lucie, you will do the same thing.
So, if you put bays up there, they put only bays in there?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Okay,
right?
But you're spending $20 million. Don't add the well, don't them, don't.
Because you have to you have to make sure, Ms. Undecided,
yes,
that you boost your capacity. And boosting capacity means that you have to provide facilities in different parts of Barbados. Okay?
Mr.
North,
Ellis?
South,
how many beds
east
they
and
have
west.
On about an island?
Listen to me.
Yes?
I look like I work with the COVID team.
I don't know.
Well, how would
you
I know?
You can't use everything now.
How would I know?
But we have to know, what's going on, you know.
Anyhow.
We can't wait till last minute.
You ask the COVID czar or one of those people that question. Okay. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Somebody wants to know whether the vehicle inspections that are going on at licensing today are an essential service. I don't know. That's one of those questions that would have to be answered by people in the government. Down to brass tacks.
Hello, good.
This person says here there's a body workshop currently in operation, spray painting, amongst other things, situated in the St. Michael Northwest constituency. Surely they are not adhering to government stipulated rules. Might I add that they are contributing to the respiratory challenges we are supposed to be protecting ourselves against. Is this right? Are these things policed? Is there anybody traveling the country trying to make sure that this thing is being observed? I think we seem to have it down pat, so to speak, in the nighttime. But this is the first working day of this set of restrictions. Therefore, we get an opportunity to see how it is working and how it is failing. Yes, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir, good afternoon.
I want to bring some, let us help try to find some solutions to what is going on out there. But first, let me say to Ms. Undecided, I guess she didn't hear, but one of the reasons why they use the school is that the school was built with facilities for as a hurricane shelter, and so it has the showers, and it has a generator, and it has water. So this is one of the reasons why they selected that location. So it's virtually almost like a multi-use facility. I want to also put on the table for the church, for the guy that called about the church, that please don't see it as a slight against the church, but see it as a benefit to the society. But to also see it that the church need to make some moves towards being able to produce services online. And let's look at maybe some place like Sweden. In Sweden, an offering plate does not come around in the pews when they have church. People make their offerings online, or they use an ATM machine that's in the church. The other challenge that we have to say is the social distancing. And the challenge that I think the government has is that we are not equipped like China, where that people can fully order their groceries from home and receive them without even interacting with the person who's delivering them. And so this, to me, puts us in a place where we need to move to, because we cannot look at it only in the context of the coronavirus. We have to look at it in the context of any other challenge that the country might have in the future, whether it be a hurricane, whether it be an earthquake, you know. So this is the thing that we have to look at as a people.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, and I also think that in terms of social distancing, it's just a matter of more and more education. And I agree with you that there's a bit more responsibility need to be put on the supermarkets and the banks. I mean, some of the banks and the supermarkets have put markers in
place.
Some
have been doing
that. Yeah, some of them. But, you know, it needs to be, it's a matter of reminding the people, I believe, as I said, educating them more and more. To understand that we need that distance, because we do not know what this virus can do, and if it is mutating or whatever the case may be.
This person says that I had to accompany my mom this morning at a bank, and I was concerned that people were still bunching up. I actually had my mom stand outside the line on the street so as not to be close to anyone. The writer says that was generally what was happening at all the businesses I passed, credit unions, supermarkets, pharmacies. Okay, so people have different experiences, but quite a number of people that have written us here reflect that particular concern as well. This is down to brass tacks.
Yes, David?
Yes, hi.
How are you?
Okay.
I want to make a few comments first. Well, you was in discussion with the gentleman you called Staxman.
Yeah.
And he was relating to the professor and to Mr. Murray. There are some instances, he was right in some instances, and you all were right too. Because I have noticed at a place like I'm in town, the supermarket line spread right out into the road, and people are a bunch of. So I was asking the question, what control does the supermarket has offer the road of itself, because there's really hardly any pavement there at that particular supermarket. So the most important thing to my mind is that the people, the shoppers of the self, must adhere to whatever the people are telling them and do exactly what they're told. I've experienced something only in a supermarket in Robert Street here recently. When this woman bunks me, I read it to the cashier, and she on for me. So when they look wrong at her, you know, she turned and tell me, it's only a basket. So there's a lot of people out there just seem to don't care, they don't understand, or they has no feelings about nothing. Put that one side. The other point I want to make, Mr., or ask a question about, I was hearing the Minister of the Elderly saying that the people who are landlords owe it to themselves in the light of what is going on to do not look to put out people now from the homes because of lack of rent. I think you heard that too, right?
Yeah.
Right. My question to her, and I would like somebody really say something about it. How about the landlords? Because people believe that landlord is somebody wealthy or got something. How about the landlord who only depends on this money to feed the family and pay light bills and still paying light bills for the same dwelling house that these people in that owe? And in this circumstance, I could tell this, I know right now that something is going on here where a tenant was owing $2,300 and somebody only to pay $100 a month and owe $2,300. She came and paid $500 in December and not another cent since. And don't care who the lady tried to contact her. There's absolutely no contact at all. I want to know what provision this old lady, she in her 70s, have a daughter and two grandchildren. I won't go into that, but the daughter don't work for certain reasons, and the children have problems. I want to know what is to be done with these particular people who have been depending on that rent to pay the light bill and the water bill and to buy food in these circumstances.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And just before we go to the news, a quick response to the person who raised the issue of the body workshop. This response from a listener says, what needs to be determined is whether the owner of the shop lives and also works at the location, because they're sure that the Attorney General said that there's no issue in working from home. If the body workman is finishing work from last week and has not taken on any new work, they see no issue. Good afternoon. A couple of things. First of all, the Minister of Health did speak about Cuban doctors and nurses coming to Barbados to assist with the fight against COVID-19. I'm also aware that the Attorney General has granted some exemptions to members of the Barbados Bar Association, permitting them to perform certain legal services outside of their homes as and when they are required. These include attending police stations to advise and represent persons who are in custody, including during curfew hours, as that is when suspects ordinarily feel the most vulnerable, according to what the Bar Association has said. 2, attending and acting on behalf of persons who have new charges before the magistrate's court, assuming that such hearings cannot be accommodated by Zoom or other appropriate technology. And 3, any services required to give effect to orders made by the duty judge or any other judge which are consequent upon an urgent application or which have otherwise been deemed urgent by a judge of the Supreme Court. In saying yes to this request, the Attorney General has also said, though, that it is not extended in any way, or is it to be extended to lawyers keeping their physical law offices open during this period. And here's one I thought had been addressed by the Attorney General yesterday, but this person says that the boss called them to a meeting after the lockdown announcement and gave them an ultimatum. Take my 2021 3-week vacation pay until the lockdown was over, or take my green paper for the 3 weeks. It means when I get my actual vacation next year, it will be without pay. My workmate didn't get a notice. They just got 1 week's pay and a 2-week green paper. Nobody else is talking. Was this the way it was supposed to work? Well, I don't think so, but the best people to respond to that would be somebody who is from the government. I would hope that we can get somebody around 1:15. I'm hopeful, but in all fairness, we haven't fully organized that for today. But if it isn't done today, then we'll do it tomorrow, okay? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Well, I'm just here to say a few things, but I don't want to be long. And please respond. So the lady that spoke about the bunching, yes, there are bunching. I passed through town, and there are a lot of bunching. People are getting all, nothing is happening. Everything is cool. The next thing, I would not like the supermarket to close down, because I am still here waiting for the past 6 weeks to get a sickness benefit check. Then some person could get at some person to lend them an electrical stove. You would know how bad it is in the house. Then you would get things from the supermarket. You will know how bad it is in the house to actually do the things that need to be done. And to the gentleman who said that you can order, I need him to know it's all right to order from the supermarket, that you can't get in contact with people, but you have to got the funds to pay those people. I know the government is doing whatever they can to help, and they're going on the right path of getting people to be off the road. But we as Barbadians do not seem to be interested in our health, ourselves, or anything else. I am in the house here, so just in the house. There's nowhere to go, nothing to spend, nothing to do different to sanitize whatever I have here to sanitize with. But that is where I am. So other people, it's all right for other people to save. Close the supermarket now, but there's some people that still need to go to the supermarket. So they got to just look, see what can be done, but please don't let the close the supermarket down. I'm still looking for the person all this time to see what can be done for me, or if there's anybody else out there that can assist two elderly people in a home, please do what y'all can, because I've been saying for the past week, I am almost out. So, thank you for listening to me, and you do have a pleasant afternoon.
Okay. I'm getting some information here about this same comment about vacation and layoff. Please, if there's something that has been misrepresented so far, please let somebody from the government call and clarify it for me. Because what we actually carried from yesterday's brass tacks is basically what we heard. I don't know that there was, unless I heard, I missed something. But in any case, let's clarify it so that the public will not be misled in any way. Please get somebody to call us, and you can always alert me on my own phone. I think most of the people involved know how to reach me. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You're on the air. This person says that they feel that what the minister said yesterday about allowing, or when he did say, can't remember when he exactly said it, but this talk about allowing tenants not to pay rent or to go easy on the tenants, this person says they think it's irresponsible. And why? And it says, for some reason, everyone assumes that a landlord is a rich person. Most rents include water, land tax, and maintenance. If a minister makes such a what he calls an irresponsible statement without an alternative as to how the landlord can recoup that money, where are the not rich landlords who are also laid off to get that money from every month or yearly as needed? The writer says that in their judgment, it is unfair to landlords, as some tenants who will be able to pay won't pay now, as they feel that they have been given the right not to pay. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hi, afternoon.
Yes, hi.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Ellis. give me an opportunity here. Did any one, because I just came in 15 minutes to catch what's going on. Did anyone give an speak to the issue of the government using the Blackman and Gallup Primary School as an isolation center?
Somebody just asked a question.
Okay. Well, in full disclosure, I'm a parent of a student there that's in class 4. And this situation is a bit uncomfortable for me. And, you know, oftentimes when you speak with you, you often ask to give an alternative view from time to time. And I'm just wondering if the Wildy Gymnasium was not considered and if there was discussion with the Barbados Union of Teachers on this matter. And the reason I put that there, because prior to the government taking this thing to a national effort, I remember the second last week of school, there was discussion about whether to suspend school at that point or let it go. The decision was to let school continue till the last week, and then that decision was reversed. And the teachers obviously had their own discussion, and they were uncomfortable with going back into school. And we weren't where we are then now. And I would imagine that there would be some fallout in relation to teachers returning to school, because there's a difference here between, as you would appreciate, quarantine and isolation. And the bulletin has stated that this is an isolation facility now. I'll give you a quick example. Because school ended somewhat prematurely, my daughter and many other parents at that school was not allowed to re-enter the school to get the book as their class 4 student. And those books were being used to do revision, and there was a scheduled Easter program for the students to be taught. That obviously can't happen now. And we can't enter the school because there was no notice given that this was going to be the position. So I would like to appreciate from the Czar, from the Minister of Education, from the Minister of Health, or whoever it may be, to give me some appreciation as to where we are, in relation to this decision on the school. And I don't want this to sound like a localizing it to the school, because I have a vested interest there, because if this matter was presented to any other parent or any other primary school, the same question would need to be asked. The gymnasium right now is a facility that went under some renovation just a short while ago through the Chinese government. It has all the infrastructural makeup there. The environment, as you would appreciate, there's a massive car park on east, west, north, and south of the gymnasium, which could be barred off, because if the government just the other day closed down, well, reorganized the movement in the capital, and the capital was still operational in terms of business, we are in a somewhat isolated, well, we're somewhat in a ghost law in the country. So it would be very easy to manage the environment surrounding the gymnasium, given that hockey, football, and stuff is suspended, because those are community type activity. So I'm just going to give you or whoever the opportunity, because as I said, my daughter now, obviously, with many others across the country, have a delay in the examination. You know, every year that's a quite unsettling period for parents and students. This now is it has been set back by a month, and now we have a situation where that school is likely not to open to meet the new school term, given that it will have to be re-sanitized, and there will be discomfort by the teachers and all interested parties. I don't know if I would have gotten the point across, but I just wonder why the gymnasium wasn't a consideration, given the footprint that the gymnasium encompassed and the environment that are somewhat pushed off of residents, because it has a quite expansive area around it that is not currently being used for obvious reasons. I submit to you, sir.
Okay, well, I think somebody from the government should deal with that. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Down to Brastad.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm okay.
That's good. Now, two things. The gentleman just now talked about the Blackman and Gallup School. They really know you're an educated person, and you have your talk about it as an educated person. But as a common sense person, I look at it as a very serious thing, in that we had a few centers designated as quarantine areas. And now all of a sudden you hear school, which tells me, I'm not interested in school and what the gentleman say, but what tells me that Barbados is in a very serious situation and we are being prepared for it. And other schools could be brought into it. What do you say about that?
Well, I don't know how many schools you really need to be brought into it, because as you have just heard from the previous caller, the minute that you put schools in this mix, you're going to have everybody saying, not my school.
But David.
And therefore, at the end of the day, this is linked to how many cases actually emerge. At this stage, the government is anticipating, I suppose, a certain number based upon trends. And it is saying, look, these are the facilities that we are going to make available right now.
But
they may not necessarily be needed, or there's a distinct possibility that they may need more.
But it tells me that with the kind of mad rush that you out there with the banks and the supermarkets, that you got a wash of schools that got to be involved in this here to cure people that have to be in quarantine. That is one. I don't know if you want to comment on what I just said.
Well, I can just leave what you have said for the public and the authorities to deal with it.
Good. Two. In your clip at 12:30, a person from HR spoke, right? About workers and how they should be sensitive to what the employer doing. Now, David, as an employer, I treat my workers some good and some bad. I might not want to treat some of the good. And when Christmas comes, I hold a Christmas party. Nowadays, before years ago, your boyfriend, your husband, or wife could come. Nowadays, you are told only you. And that because the workers feel so distressed of how they were treated, they're doing a thing. Now they are telling them the party is being held in the day, and if they don't turn up, they don't get paid. HR is being used to soften workers, which workers do not like. That is all I would say to the person who spoke on the HR position, what you have to say about it as a manager.
Do you agree
with my statement, or do you not?
Look,
I talk to the boss, so he's in my tongue today.
Clearly, but let me just say to you that HR is supposed to take a neutral position. HR is supposed to look after the best interests of the company.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And sometimes you may find that management, even though in many instances managers sometimes appear to ride roughshod over the people in HR, with the ideal is that, you know, you look at a situation and you're supposed to, because you're looking after the company's best interest, give the best advice that you can. And sometimes that advice does not square with the people who lead, and it doesn't square with those who are led. Therefore, you find HR people caught between a rock and a hard place.
Let me tell you, I never thought you'd be so honest as today, so I must take off my hat to you. Mr. Ellis, I hope you'll be safe during this time and the rest of Barbados, and I would like them to adhere to the distance.
Okay. Thank you very much.